The scripture will be Luke 24, verses 36 through 49. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high."
Thank you, Chris, for that scripture reading. And nice shirt. So the disciples are sitting in some house in Jerusalem. Probably a house they've been in before. Probably a house that just a few days earlier they were at. It's probably the same place they had the Last Supper at, the upper room. And they're sitting there having this like gambit of all kinds of emotions, right? Sad, confused, maybe mad at life, wondering if they have just wasted several years of their lives, mad at each other, mad at Rome, scared, maybe just waiting to be arrested, wondering if they can like wrap their minds around this wild story that Clopas just told them about running into Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And then while they're sitting there, sad and dejected and confused and dealing with all this, Jesus just appears among them. You don't see him come in. There's not a knock at the door. He just appears among them, kind of like a ghost does, or like I guess how I would assume a ghost would do. They just appear there. Anybody ever rode the Haunted Mansion ride at Disney? There's a really, the coolest part of it, spoiler alert, where the little like cart you're in, it turns and you look in a mirror and you see yourselves, but there's a ghost right there with you in the mirror. It's scary. And it's kind of, that's kind of what happens here. It just appears there out of nowhere and you didn't know it was there. You know, I bet it's scary and startling. I bet at least one of those dudes let out a girlish squeal. Like one of them had to freak out, you know, and they're like, "Hey, compose yourself." And at first thought, I thought that was why Jesus led with "peace be with you." Almost as if to say, "Hey, don't be afraid. I know I just kind of appeared here and that's kind of scary, but hey, it's okay. Peace be with you. There's nothing to worry about. I'm on your team. I mean no harm." But they're still freaking out and thinking they've seen a ghost. And he knows they are troubled. He knows they're doubting. We all would. He just kind of broke their worldview here. Everything they know about how life and the universe works has been shattered. Dead people don't just appear here like that. Things like that don't happen. People don't just come back from the dead and show up in the upper room. But it does seem to be a hopeful and joyful doubt. Not so much a negative doubt, but a doubt like, this is too good to be true. Am I dreaming? I can't believe this is happening. This doesn't make sense. This is not the way things work. And it's just such good news. And so they kind of doubt. Again, because God is expanding their worldview, making them grasp realities that they never thought possible. people can't come back from the dead. But one of the realities they're having to grasp is God has no limits. God is not limited by death. There is nothing that God can't do. And it's important to note, he says, hey, look, I'm not a ghost. Ghosts don't have flesh and blood. There is something different here. So it's almost like he's saying, look, guys, I'm not a ghost. I have flesh and blood. I'm a zombie, okay? And zombies aren't scary. But that's not what he's saying. He is saying he does have flesh and blood. From what I know about zombies, they eat brains and their hearts don't pump and they can't think. And so he's not that. He's higher level than that. But it's really important that this was written down, and it's really important to note this. Because that early witnesses to the resurrection. Note, he's not just a spirit. He's not just a ghost. There's other cases of ghosts showing up, of people's spirits showing up. You can even see some in Scripture. This is different. Jesus is in the full living flesh, wounds still there and blood pumping. And he can even eat. He eats fish. I guess ghosts can't eat fish, which is important. Because people later, some heresies are going to take place later that say, hey, Jesus was only like a phantom. He was just spirit. He wasn't flesh. Or the resurrection was just spirit. It wasn't flesh. And so it's really important to note, no, this was a fully resurrected living man. And then, like he did with these guys on the road to Emmaus, kind of makes a similar point to the disciples here. He says, hey, look, Scripture always said this was going to happen. This was always part of the plan. God had never been defeated. He didn't have to, like, call an audible because this bad thing happened. This was ultimately going to happen. God's divine foresight saw this and planned this, and God has the victory. God's in control. So in verse 45, he says something that I think is cool. He opens their minds so that they can understand Scripture. What does that mean? On the road to Emmaus, we see that he opens their eyes to see that it's Jesus. Now he's opening their minds to understand Scripture. First, it kind of tells me, oh, there's things in Scripture that the disciples were missing. There was truths in Scripture that the disciples had not discovered. Sometimes we act like my interpretation of Scripture is the plain, clear, and right one. And you should see it the way I do. Well, the disciples needed Jesus to show them how to see what it's really saying. And so if the disciples needed some assistance, I think it's okay for us to need some assistance at some times too. We probably need to admit that sometimes all of us might miss some important things in Scripture. We might read it over and miss something really valuable. And that's one of the reasons we need community. And that's why it's so good to study the Word of God in community. Because some of us miss things that the other ones don't. And so I also, with this whole idea of opening their mind to Scripture, I want you to hear the new interpretations of Scripture. New interpretations of Scripture to me or to you are not a bad thing. Necessarily. Doesn't mean they're always wrong. Sometimes new interpretations of Scripture are fresh and exciting and life-giving and a growth opportunity for us. And so in this case, Jesus is showing them some interpretations of Scripture that they missed. They missed some of the mission of the Messiah. That he wasn't just going to conquer, but he's also going to suffer. He was going to bear sin. It wasn't as much about physical freedom as much as it is about spiritual freedom. And so sometimes we read Scripture with like these blinders on, right? We read it in a way that affirms what we're already doing, in a way that doesn't challenge us, in a way that makes us really comfortable, right? I don't want to read Scripture in a way that's going to make me change anything. So we need our minds to be open to see what it's really saying. And to see the claims Scripture is making about Jesus, the claims it's making on our lives. the claims, maybe it's even making about things that in ourselves that we need to change or do differently. And so I think it's a great prayer to ask God to open our minds so that we can understand Scripture. And opening our minds means being open to new things, right? Open to new ways of thinking. Open to things that may even shock or scare us or make us uncomfortable. And so maybe another good prayer is, you know, Father, open my eyes to see the things I don't want to see. Help me to see the things that I'm blocking out that are keeping me from growing because I'm afraid to face them. And so here, really, it's not just to Scripture. God's opening disciples' minds in a lot of ways. He is expanding how they see Scripture, but he's also expanding how they see life and life after death. And he's showing them, again, that he, Jesus, is bigger and more powerful and has reached further than they thought. So their minds really haven't just been open. They've been completely blown. He is blowing their minds. And it's a nice prayer. God, please, please just expand my mind so much and help me to quit putting you in this box where I can control you and where I can be comfortable, where you like all the people I like and dislike all the people I don't like. I don't want that anymore, God. I want to be shocked with how amazing you are. Please break every barrier that I have put up about who you are and what you will and won't do or who you will and won't accept. Help me to appreciate more who you really are, not what I have created in my mind to think that you are. Sometimes we put God in this small box that makes him easier to understand and easier to control. And then I think we have a hard time believing in that God. And other people might have a hard time believing in that God, and it's okay that they do, because we've shown them a really small God. And the story of the resurrection is showing God is much bigger than you thought. His reach goes further. His power is stronger. He is bigger than you think. So Jesus opens their minds. And he hints, all this isn't just for the Jews. It might start there, but it's to all nations, maybe even the Gentiles. So again, you're seeing, oh, God's bigger than I thought. He's not just for this little group of people. He's not just a God of this little regional area. He's a God that's reach goes far beyond places I've even seen or people that I even know. Again, shocking them and showing God, showing, opening their minds to how big and how powerful and far-reaching God is. He's more powerful than you thought. And then he says, you're going to tell people. And he promises the Holy Spirit. He says, wait until God gives you this power from on high. So it's pretty wild and exciting and encouraging experience that the disciples have had in this moment. Hope is not lost. God is not beat. This was all part of the plan. This was all supposed to happen. God's bigger than you thought. He's more powerful than you thought. His reach goes further than you thought. But also, your work isn't done. Your adventure isn't over. You're going to be my witness, and I'm going to empower you. This is a huge moment for the disciples. So I just go back and I think of that, those first words he spoke when he appeared to him. Peace be with you. I think it's more than just saying, don't be scared. It's more than just, I mean no harm. He's saying, all is well. Everything is in its proper place. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's right where it needs to be. I'm alive and I am in control. I know what I'm doing, and you get to be a part of it. I can remove your anxiety. There should be no fear. You can be at absolute peace now. Man and God are at peace now. Offenses forgiven between man and God. but maybe even also with this peace that God gives, peace with each other. All sin has been covered. Everything was bore on the cross. So not only does God forgive, but we forgive. We live at peace with each other. So to say peace be with you is to say all things are in harmony. You can rest in me and you can find ultimate peace in me because peace has been made on the cross. If you're here this morning and God has just blown your mind with how big and how amazing and how powerful and how far his reach is, if you're realizing, I put God in a box and he's just expanding everything I know about the universe and what God is and what he expects of us. There's nothing he can't do. If you're here this morning ready to rest in this ultimate peace that he provides, ready to trust in your suffering that he's going to make all things right, ready to trust that he can really bring beauty out of brokenness, ready to put all your hope and faith in a God who has conquered death. He has done the undoable. Ready to find forgiveness through the cross. And then let's not forget, if you are ready to find your mission and your purpose and what God has in store for you, we invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.